Hey, welcome back, everyone in the sporting world. Now got their head in the Olympics, and it's a great thing. We're all enjoying the triumphs and the tragedies, and then we'll go to our winter sports as they come to a finale. But I tell you what, our mind also goes to this summer of cricket here in Australia with the Ashes, one of the biggest sporting events that we can be involved in. We love it when the English come out here. It becomes, you know, the country becomes immersed in that. We have got a COVID situation, as has the rest of the world, and the tour would be from, if you were to play in all forms of the game, I reckon somewhere from November to the end of January. So that's a long, long stint. And I'm just wondering whether they're getting a bit nervous over there about travelling, not so much the players, but more so probably family and being away from family for such a long time. Nick Holt is the cricket writer for The Telegraph in the UK, being good enough to join us. Good morning to you, Nick.
Hello there, hi.
We're going well. Can you give us the lay of the land in terms of the feel from the English Cricket Board about their tour to Australia at the end of this year?
Well, there's a meeting later this week between the players and the ECB to try and thrash out where they're at the moment. There's just a lot of unknowns and uncertainty. I think if the players discover tomorrow or later this week that their families weren't able to join them, then I think quite a few would pull out. But of course, these things are much more nuanced than that, and it will take a much longer time to get to that point. But there is a lot of apprehension and a lot of anxiety among the players that the families won't be able to join them, and they'll have a big decision to make.
Yeah, right. So it's not so much their willingness to come and travel and play cricket. It's about the fact that they're away for such a long time. And are they talking about, would the women or the family members be prepared to quarantine for the period of time that's needed?
I think that they would be willing to quarantine. I think they would accept that they shouldn't really get special treatment in that respect. I think it's just the fact that they might not actually be given visas and allowed into the country in the first place. And it's not just the Ashes tour. These guys are going away for the World T20. The guys who are multi-format players, they leave the UK on the September the 20th. So if they go to the World T20 and the Ashes tour, they won't be home till the end of January. So if you don't see your family for that entire period, that's quite a lot to ask.
Yeah, so, I mean, the possibility then, I guess, is whether some of the short-form players will just travel for that period of time or have to make a decision between whether they represent the country in the test format or the shorter format.
Yeah, and there's quite a lot of... There's not a lot of crossover between England's white ball team and the red.
Sorry, I think you might have just dropped out. So in terms of the multi-discipline players, how many of those would play in the short form and the test team?
Hello?
Yeah, are you there, Nick? We were having a few problems with our line.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, you're back. We're just talking about the fact that you got the multi-disciplines, the T20, the one day, and then the test team. How many of those players would be required across all three of those formats?
Probably about half a dozen, I would say. You're looking at the big-name guys like Root, Butler and Stokes, Jofra Archer. Those are the guys who play every format. So of those, Butler, Root and Stokes have young families, so that will be at the forefront of their mind. And then you have guys like Jimmy Anderson, who also has a young family, and the plan is for the test guys to go out to Australia possibly 3 or 4 weeks before the first test. So for those guys, that's quite a long period. It's not just from the day one of the first test to day five of the fifth test.
Hey, Nick, we wake up this morning to a headline in one of our papers, the Cricket Australia eyes the Euro-style vaccine passport. I believe that it has been part of some games that have been played at Wembley Stadium, football games that have been played there this year where attendees were required to present a vaccine passport. How did all that work? Did it work well, comfortably? What sort of opposition was there to it?
I don't think there's a lot of opposition. I think people accept that if that's how they have to get into matches, then they will do it. Where you had a problem at the Euros was the behaviour of the crowd and the crowd control. That's when it became difficult. So you don't obviously get that at cricket, but that was the issue at football matches. At the moment, for cricket in this country, they're not asking for any COVID passport or vaccine or proof of negative test. It's actually free entry at the moment. They're just waiting for government guidance on that, but the government policy hasn't been set down yet.
Hey, Nick, do you think this Ashes tour will go ahead?
Yes, I do. I think there's probably, I'm sure these things will get sorted out in the end, but I think that we could be a very last minute call. And I think if it comes back that the players' families can't come, then expect a lot of withdrawals. And then you're going to get to the point where, I'm sorry, but you know, an England first 11 are probably going to fight very hard in Australia, and England third 11 have got no hope.
Hey, Nick, is there any chance of England being competitive without the Barmy Army travelling alongside them here in Australia?
Well, I think that makes a difference. I think this is already going to be the hardest tour of all because they have no support from, well, apart from the English fans who live in Australia, they're not going to have a lot of support. Australia is a very tough place for England players to tour anyway. So this is already going to be tough without the fans. So if you had the lack of families on top of that, then, well, I mean, that would be an extraordinary result if they could turn around and win.
It's going to be a great challenge. Let's hope that it goes ahead. Just a quick one before our news. The 100, how's it been received? Has it been a success, the new comp?
Yeah, I think the crowds have been pretty good, particularly for the women's matches. And the audience figures on the BBC have been excellent. So, yeah, it's got a little bit of a way to go. Maybe the novelty value will wear off, but at the moment it seems to be going relatively well.
Sensational. So appreciate you jumping on this morning and give us that insight. We might touch base again, if that's okay, closer to the Ashes to make sure that everything's going well, because we are desperate for the English to come out here and travel and play in that test series this summer.
No, but we want to come as well.
Go on, Nick.
Nick Holt, who's the cricket writer of The Telegraph in the UK.
Do you support the idea of a vaccine-style passport to attend these big games or not?
It's the fifth time you've asked me
that. I want to get a feel for where you're at with all this. It's happening around the world.
There's an inevitability about it, yes, Tim. I think that it is going to come in here. There's going to be some issues with it, though.
Yeah, no, there's going to be some enormous issues with it. But there's more and more discussion. Do you think this is one of those sort of kite-flying exercises where politicians and others sort of throw something out there and just wait and get the temperature of
the fact that people decide
what they're going to do?
Already around the world suggests it may be further advanced than that. But we'll keep an eye on it.